I think you're coveting that chocolate, aren't you? It's funny because there's the 10th commandment of the Aser Dibrot, which we read this week, right?
Yeah.
Is you shouldn't covet anything of your neighbors in their anything in their house. Now, interesting on that list, chocolate does not appear. But I do have a question for a few of you who are in chairs. Is anyone here coveting the sofas? little bit of coveting there, right? Right, Taka a little bit. So it's amazing. I find the 10th commandment of the Decalogue the most fascinating of them all. I mean, some of them are, as the rabbis of old would say, pshita. It's simple, and they say it as much. Don't kill. Really bad for society. Particularly bad if you're the person being killed. So you could just figure that out from logic, right? I mean, okay, maybe observe Shabbat. You wouldn't figure out on your own. But a lot of them are clear, and yet there seems to be something different about the 10th commandment than the others. Anyone want to hazard a guess what, at least on the surface, seems different about it?
It's in your mind.
It's in your mind. Coveting seems to be a mental act, or what else might it be considered? Huh? Maybe it's a natural reaction. Maybe it's an emotion. And the rabbis really have all struggled with this because you can't compel someone what to feel. You feel what you feel. Now I'm angry. Now I'm happy. Now I'm tired. They're just natural states of being. And the rabbis really wanted to sort of understand what this could be. And also, we already read earlier, lo tignov, don't steal. And shouldn't coveting be sort of covered in that anyway? What's the big deal about it? And it's interesting because I think there's a lot of ways we can understand the 10th commandment, and I think they all have some use for us. One explanation, I think, which is mine, but is that if you actually have done the other 9 commandments, if you've tried to assimilate the Torah into your life, then maybe that desire for that which is not yours begins to fade, right? I mean, I believe deeply that religion is a training ground for gratitude, and gratitude in part says that you are Ezehu Asher HaSamech B'Chelko, that the rich person is the one who's happy with their lot, that part of our development as people, right? Now we can't strive for more, but there's a ground base that we just sort of accept where we are, even if we work. So it might be that the 10th commandment, you can't command someone not to covet, but you can provide a sort of pathway for them. You know, long before the Me Too movement, the rabbis were so direct. And when you read about this particular commandment, because it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, they go straight to sex. And they go straight into human desire. And it is both refreshing and shocking and oh so Jewish. Right? I mean, there is nothing, the Torah doesn't avoid anything. And pretty much everything that might require a letter rating before the movie you might want to see, you'll find it in the Torah. And they discuss this really in terms of human desire, and you would think that that's even harder maybe to control, right? When you look at someone and you get those little goosey feelings or whatever you call them, it just sort of happens, or does it? I think what's really interesting, commentators like Shaddal and Ibn Ezra really dig in, and they say that this is not a feeling. A feeling is something that really is basic to us, like anger or joy. It's not a complex emotion. So what's the difference between a feeling and an emotion? A feeling is, I'm angry. A feeling is, I'm happy. A feeling is, I feel pain. A feeling is, I'm not feeling pain. But an emotion is the way we ascribe a set of values and understandings to it. So that suddenly I'm feeling pain, that I'm suffering. Oi, Gewalt. I'm suffering so much because the kids never call. So what Siddal and Ibn Ezra are getting to, I think, is that that coveting is actually a complex emotion, and because it's not a feeling, we actually can't control it. And they then proceed, centuries before CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, will come on the scene, they provide a whole template for how we can avoid coveting. And it's fascinating. And again, it's really direct. They say you have to look at whatever that object or person is who's off limits as really being off limits, as being so far out of any realm of possibility that you relinquish your fantasies around it. And shockingly, but really directly, they say, in the same way that nobody, even if your mother, and this is written for men in male language, in the same way that straight men, I guess, even if your mother is beautiful, you don't have desire for her because you've been acculturated. You can get trained in a certain way. And it is remarkable, right? We've just gone through this whole Me Too movement where we give the commandment, but we don't give the pathway. And I think that that's part of what we can feel really proud about, that there's a pathway about how we think about things, how we change our thoughts, and set up bounded areas of things we're not going towards. And I think we need that more. We are the society where anything goes, where I'm just being me and individuality. And the Torah is telling us that we build these fences of thought around ourselves and that it will change who we are and it will change who and what we can desire, because unhealthy desires are just that. And if we want to live happy lives connected to those Ten Commandments on our wall, then we have to find a way, a path, a cognitive behavioral therapy, spiritual discipline to do so. So for whatever it is in your life that you're coveting, whether it's chocolate, whether it's a sofa, come earlier next time, you can have a sofa. Early in the day, you can have chocolate, but some things, no. Shabbat shalom.
Oh, Shabbat shalom.